We're back with more of our special Project Milwaukee series on Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North. It's great to have you with us. Today, we're looking at school reform in MPS, what ideas have worked, which haven't, what's next, and most importantly, how these different plans to boost student achievement have impacted teachers. Former MPS teacher Eldon Capley says reform has so far missed the point by employing unrealistic assessment methods. Lee is the co-author of the book Saving Students from a Shattered System, Igniting the Passion for Learning. He says teaching to the needs of each individual child is key to them learning, which in turn can stop them from dropping out of school altogether. Lee tells Lake Effect's Stephanie Lecce that part of the problem lies in what we think the purpose of education is.
Well, it basically, the fundamental philosophy hasn't changed. That's the problem. Let's go back in history. Thomas Jefferson started the school system in the late 1700s, and he called the purpose of it raking a few geniuses from the rubbish. So what he did is get those who were perceived to be college-bound, which were basically white males, and put them in education, and the rest got thrown aside and do the jobs of their parents or whatever they happened to do. And we really never thought about educating everybody. The whole concept of raking a few geniuses is still there. We're trying to put people into one little tiny box full of word games and math riddles, which is a standardized test. And if you don't fit in, you move on. You move on anyway. Let me give you an example. You start 6 weeks, and you have a 6 weeks test. If you fail it, you go to the next 6 weeks. You don't stay and learn. And by the time that accumulates, by the time you're in a year, you're a mess. You're lost. And eventually, you get too old and you drop out. And that's what happens, basically.
Your book does focus a great deal on the high dropout rates across the country, as you argue, increased by the way that we're teaching in our schools today. How do we change the system so that students, A, stay in school, or B, have a way to return to school if they should drop out in the first place?
Well, many ways. First way is a system and design. First way is to take kids from where they are. And you're going to take a look at Kansas City schools, Kansas City, Missouri. Dr. Covington is sticking his neck out and is going to try a system where they throw out grade levels and they throw out letter grades and they throw out all these things that were started way back in the day and are useless now. We have to take kids from where they are. And to take kids where they are, you have to get a baseline. And to get a baseline, you give a simple test, not the big standard. And then you got to have a system within that. So you take kids from where they are, and there's several ways of doing it. What we did at Milwaukee Village School when we started that is we took kids and used differentiated learning, and we also used what they call centers now. Back then, it was like our reading clubs, and we'd group them for reading and put them in their separate groups. And since we didn't have letter grades, and it wasn't about winning or losing, and it wasn't about being smart and being stupid, it was just about learning, you could hear a pin drop in a school when we had those reading classes, and they loved to go to reading.
Right. You argue that the point is not to pass a test. The point is to actually have the students demonstrate that they've acquired certain skills and certain knowledge.
Absolutely. Everything is a demonstration of learning. And, of course, we have the simple test for the reading and the math and things like that. But you build your academic skills into everything. I just was talking with Will Allen yesterday, and we started that program with Will back in 1995 before he had Growing Power and so forth. And we built our academics into the phenomenal stuff that he's doing out there in Growing Power. And we did that with Mata Media also. We had a public service announcement. That was an English class. And so we made things real. It isn't about making things easier. It's about making them real. If you demonstrate the learning, there's no dumbing down of a demonstration. You're in front of people. You got to show them how to do it. So that's the demonstration of learning that has to be across the board.
And as you argue, that would allow for kids who learn at perhaps a slower rate to actually gain this knowledge and not just be left behind, while those who learn at a faster rate can just memorize and get ahead faster.
Yeah, there's a couple of points here, and there's so many. One is this is not just for the kids who are slower. This is for the kids who are faster also. So it works on both levels. But you take kids from where they are, allows them to also move up. There's no shortcut to learning. You know, there's no simple, quick path. So as you take kids from where they are, They see the carrots in front of them. They always have hope because they always go into the next step. And what we found out, and we found out at village school too, and for people, those of us that know, there are kids that are much brighter that aren't learning as fast because of a ton of obstacles, including low expectations. And in our plan, we don't try to pinpoint what the problem is. We have to work on all those problems. But in our point, whatever the problem is, there it's okay to learn and it's okay to fail. And the failure system in the school system is just absolutely horrible. We don't have a fail system that you can recover from. That's another Will Allen quote. You're going to mess up sometimes. It's not going to work sometimes, but that's part of life. You readjust, you redo, but we don't readjust in the school system.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about what you were saying, taking students where you are. In the book, you talk about teachers or teacher teams creating individual plans for the students. Is this feasible for teachers to do when class sizes, especially in urban districts like MPS, continue to grow? And won't it cost more money in districts that are already financially strapped?
Well, a couple questions there, and you're absolutely right. I get a chance to visit Racine, Kenosha, Wilmot, Cedarburg, and I'm in Milwaukee. And Milwaukee has the highest class size by far. It isn't even close, and that's awful. That's a sin. One of the things we can do is we can save billions of dollars nationwide by throwing out that test. It's useless. We can't afford to do anything that doesn't work for kids. Assessment is only good as the information gathered and its application to the education of the child. That assessment or test has no application whatsoever to the child. We can't afford to do that anymore. So we save money that way.
You argue in the book for teachers really being able to set the curriculum, set how much time is dedicated to specific subjects. Why do you believe it's so important for teachers to have the freedom to develop how they want to teach and not be pigeonholed by standardized requirements?
You got a real good point. What's happened in the past is they've been held to these standardized tests and they force the teachers to do their things, but then they call the teachers the failures when they are the failures for sending the stuff down to the teachers. The teachers aren't the failures. We want teachers to be able to teach, and some will be successful and some will be failures. Now, we hold teachers accountable, too. If you notice in the book that we have, they're accountable to the state standards of teaching, and we've got some pretty decent Wisconsin standards of teaching, but we can't use them because they're forced to teach to the test. They're being forced away. It's a horrible system. They're being forced away from the wonderful standards that they have set up for teachers. Let them teach and then hold them accountable. Don't give them something out of the blue and say, oh, we're going to give you this, you do it our way, and then you're accountable. You know, curriculum instruction failed. The feds failed. The city failed. You don't know whether the teacher failed or not because they haven't had a chance to teach.
Part of the philosophy you discuss in the book is the concept of teaching the whole student. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? And for cash-strapped schools, how do you incorporate this kind of philosophy that involves arts and music and other areas of education into the curriculum?
Well, that's actually what we found out was it really didn't cost much because we used the community. And you get involved in community. I mentioned Will Allen and using the farm concept. It was called Farm Link at the time. Now it's Growing Power. You bring experts in the community and you team with experts in the community. And we paid him some money for doing it, but we also got – it was a lot cheaper than hiring a whole teacher to come in and spend the whole year doing this. So you get a lot of partners, a lot of business partners. Now, business partners are no longer can be for money. You're not, oh, you're my partner. Give me this. Give me this. You take them with expertise that you need to have. So you build that in, and then you make adjustments as to what you have in the school. You got to have the arts in the school. And I spend a lot of time talking about the arts and the importance of the arts in the school. So you just make judgments and try to keep price down. The cost shouldn't be any more than what you're paying now. It really shouldn't be.
Well, isn't all of this a lot easier said than done? I mean, is it realistic to expect that the whole system can change, or must it be done on an individual school-by-school basis?
It's easier said than done. And yes, like Kansas City's doing, they're going to start with 8 to 10 schools and then grow from there. My thoughts are start mandate this for all charter schools and then within the public school system and let them get it implemented. Yeah, it's easier said than done by a long shot. I mean, we did this in 95. I quote Ted Turner, if 90% of the people don't poo-poo you, you don't have a great idea. And we had the 90% easily.
Well, Cap Lee, thanks so much for coming in today and talking to us about your book.
You're welcome.
Eldon Cap Lee is the co-author of Saving Students from a Shattered System, Igniting the Passion for Learning, published by Roman and Littlefield Education. He's also a former MPS teacher and later an administrator. He helped start the Milwaukee Village School, which closed in October of 2005. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. We'll have one more short break, and then we're back to talk with a local author about his newest book. It chronicles Wisconsin's 3,800 servicemen and women missing in action or buried overseas during World War II. That and a poem by our state's poet laureate comes your way in just a moment. It's Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio.